He is risen. This is our last Sunday of Easter, believe it or not. And we started our 7 weeks. We started a week early so I could get through with Psalm 22. And we barely did it. We squeaked. Took us 7 weeks to get through Psalm 22. And we finally finished it off. Praise the Lord. And we're thankful for that. But today, it just happens to fall the last day of Easter this year is Mother's Day. So I want to bring a message of encouragement and accountability, not just to mothers, but to parents and to grandparents, to aunts and uncles. But it's directly to mothers. Tyler sent me a text earlier this week. He had been, I guess you were reading morning and by morning and evening by Spurgeon, and he ran across May 4th's devotion in that on how he took a quote about children, thinking too highly about your children than you should. And it made me go back and look at the sermon that Spurgeon preached on that Mother's Day. And I almost read it to you. And I thought, no, I can't hardly bear reading this sermon. I don't. So I got this outline years ago by Thomas Boston. He's an old Scottish Presbyterian preacher from, he was born in 1676, so old dude. And I used the outline, but I did the work. So we're gonna look at this. It's called A Mother's Main Responsibility. Now his title was not that short. It was like two paragraphs long. A Mother's Main Responsibility. A mother's main responsibility, and which is a father's main responsibility also. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us, and let's dive in. Lord, we come to You knowing that there is nowhere else to go. There is no other help under heaven to run to seek, even to find outside of You. And so, Lord, we come this morning, frail creatures of dust, broken and burdened, things in life that continue to brush up against us and beat at our doors. And Lord, we long to see Your face. You are our only hope, our only help. So Lord, our prayer, as we pray almost every Sunday, every day really, Lord, is really quite simple. Please do not leave us to ourselves, to our own thinking, our own mindsets, our opinions, what we think and how we, Lord, You help us, Lord, to die to those things and live for You. Help us to see You and less of us. Teach us what it means to love You most and trust You most and trust ourselves least. Lord, thank You for Your word and how piercing it is. Do the work that brings You the most glory and the most honor. Grant us repentance today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, a mother's main responsibility. A verse that no one really likes to hear. A verse that we are going to just start with, and it is a verse that not a lot of people bring up in churches anymore. It's Proverbs 22:6. You know it well. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Every parent communicates clearly to their children. This is a promise that if we do this, God it will take care of matters in his timing. But it's a promise that we don't like to talk about in our churches, how we have trained up our children. And there's several reasons for this, and there's a lot of bad theology, honestly, that comes from this verse. You know that. You've even thought about it. A lot of times people don't put it together like they should, often, as they do with the rest of Scripture. There's several reasons with this. One is this. I'm going to start with this point. We should all know you are in a Reformed church, so you should know this clearly, without any doubt, that we all know it is only God who can change a person's heart. As much as I love my wife, as much as I love my children, and I would be skinned alive for my children, I cannot change their hearts. Matter of fact, the truth be known, they can't change their hearts. The only person that can change a heart is the Almighty, period. Now, we do what's in our hearts. That's why as my kids were growing up and there would be troubles and we would, well, they're still growing up. Are y'all still growing up? Okay. There'd be troubles and y'all should have known, Carrie, that you're going to be examples today, right? It's Mother's Day. Okay. All right. As they were growing up and they would get in troubles, just a few troubles here and there, and we would have these conversations and go, why did you do this? What's going on? What's in your heart? What's happening? And they would say, well, so-and-so, and you can tell Caleb that I talked about him. Well, Caleb did this. And I would say, wait a minute. I know you have a friend, and I know you love him, and y'all, but you did it, and you need to know this, you did it not because of Caleb, but because it was in your heart to do it. Right? And so we trained our kids to understand their sin is their sin. It's in their heart. We don't have the Flip Wilson theology in the Griffin home. Do y'all even know who Flip Wilson is? Okay, for the youngins here, it's the devil made me do it theology. All right, in the Griffin household, it is first and foremost, it is in your heart. You wanted to do it. So the only person who can change another person's heart is the Almighty God, period. Okay? So when we read this verse, we need to think, okay, mom, dad, ultimately, it's not you. It's God. But we also need to see in it that the Lord uses parents, right? All right. So number two is there is only, and hear me, I'm going to clarify a little bit. There's only one right way to train a child. And you may go, wait a minute, preacher. Only one right way? Yes. Yes. This is the right way. Always pointing them to the cross. Always take them to the cross. Always push them to the cross. Always get them to Jesus. Take them to the Lord. That's the only way. That's the only right way to train a child, is always pointing and going and pushing. And listen, listen, it doesn't matter how old your children are. You push them to the cross. You point them to the cross. You take them to the cross. There's only one right way. So in looking at this verse, the first thing is you have to know there's only one person that changes hearts. And secondly, there's only one right way to train a child. Thirdly, the problem is most parents train up children in the way that they seem, they think it seems in their mind and eyes are right. What they think is right. Well, you know, this is how grandma did it and how my parents did it and how we're going to do it. This is how it is. And I hope that if it's right, that's good. But if that's wrong, that's bad, right? And so a lot of times parents parent how they were brought up and what seems right in their eyes instead of what is right in the Lord's eyes. There were a lot of firsts in our home, and the Lord did a great work of grace and still is doing a work of grace and still needs to do a work of grace. But it's not what you feel is right or wrong. It's what the Lord thinks is right. So it brings us to point number four. That is very hard work. To train children biblically and to help with biblical habits, to train your children to have right mindsets and world God views and the correct world views and biblical habits in their lives that you start with and you build into their lives. It's endless hard work. It's a lifetime of work, actually. It doesn't end when they leave your house. It ends when you go home to be with the Lord. And it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. And fifthly, you need to look at their examples. What are the examples of godliness that your children are watching? In your life, in your family's life, in your marriage life, and listen, most importantly, in your church's life. What are your kids watching? Who are they watching? Examples to help them as they try to navigate this through this world and as you help them navigate through this world. I will say this. We talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning. There's no more important job on earth than the duty of motherhood. I think there's not a more hard job than to be a godly mother, a godly stepmother, a godly grandmother, great-grandmother, adopted mother, guardian mother, aunt, to be a part of a family and be a godly woman is a high calling. In our society and in our world today, it looks down upon this. But we should not. It is the highest calling that the Lord has placed upon women. The world would tell them today to chase a career, make more money, have fun, live an adventurous life, be happy. When the Lord is saying, sacrifice, pour out your life, serve sacrificially, and serve even when you're hurt, and especially when you're hurt. Because you know and I know there's no hurt that hurts worse than a child hurting you. You've heard me say this many times. I have one feeling, and man, my kids stomp on it all the time. Amen? I don't have a lot of feelings, but buddy, woo, the kids know right where it's at. Right? A mother's responsibility. Let me give you seven helpful hints. Are you ready? We're going to breeze through these real quick. The first one, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy 6. The very first one is this. All right, so seven helpful hints. Boy, that sounds like a title for a church growth sermon, doesn't it? Now, if I could boil it down in 10 minutes, then it'd be great. All right, seven helpful hints. Number one, teach your children principles of faith. Teach your children principles of faith. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7, the Shema, this is what it says. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Hold your finger right there because we're going to come back to Deuteronomy 6. Or it'll be on the third point. So you might want to. But Proverbs. Proverbs 1:8 says this. My son, hear the instruction, Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother. So he's talking to his son and saying, listen to your dad and listen to your mom. Hey, he can come up here, Amber. Or she, is it? I don't have my glasses. Okay. He can let her come up here. It doesn't bother me. Proverbs 4:3. When I was my father's son, tender, and the only one in the sight of my mother. He also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. One more. And you Proverbs 31, you might say, oh, I know Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. Verse 1. Now, if I have to wait for y'all to turn pages, it's going to be a long day. Proverbs 31:1. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. So we see him, this king, writing in Proverbs and saying, and basically, this is what my mom taught me. And you get Proverbs 31. What a godly mother is. And so this point, teach your children principles of faith. This means help them to learn doctrine. Teach them sound doctrine. It will bless them. It will help them. Things like God being sovereign. What does that mean? What does God being sovereign mean? That He is the ruler of all. Over all. That God is almighty. That God knows all things. That He sees all things. How about this one? This was the text that Tyler sent me. How about total depravity? That no one is good. That's what Scripture says, right? No one's good. No, not one. Total depravity. That they need help. That they have sin in their lives. That their hearts are wicked. How about irresistible grace? That when the Lord does show them and helps them and reveals Himself to them, that what does irresistible grace mean? What does it look like? That the Lord draws them in and He becomes irresistible. How about what common grace means? How about accountability? Sons, daughters, kids, parents, believers, you need accountability in your life. Every believer needs accountability, right? What does that mean? What does that look like? How about Scripture? Is it the rule and practice of life? What does trusting in the Lord mean? What does having faith mean? Do we build these things in our children's life? What does providence mean? But you know the problem is? We've got to know it before we teach it to them. How about this? What does justification mean? That alone, that one principle is where the church stands and falls. People get that mixed up badly. What does sanctification mean? Son, daughter, I understand. You still have sin. I have sin. We're learning to die to ourselves, but we're pursuing Christ. Amen? That's an important thing for them to know, right? What do these things mean? Do you know how much grief in a life a parent could save? Could just grief that they could save their children from just by teaching a few of these biblical principles? Just a few. You know, we've been reading on Sunday morning the catechism. We've been going through the catechism. Catechize your children. I remember Carrie being so little. Carrie, you could not keep him still. Lord, I remember having, this is no joke, I would have to wrestle him and pin him to the ground and say, okay, you got to answer 5 catechism questions before I let you up. And I mean, I would have to do it every day. He'd be like, nope, like running. I'm the gingerbread man. You can't catch me. He actually got the worst whooping of his life by quoting that. Catechize them. Teach them. Help them get this stuff. And do you know what? It's amazing when they get older, when things start clicking and they go. And I remember holding him down and he'd answer short answer and I'd go, nope, word perfect or you don't get up, buddy. You remember? Point number 2, acquaint them with Scripture. Acquaint them with Scripture. Carrie's like, I'm never coming home again. 2 Timothy, write it down. I'm going to read it to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. Remember, this is Paul writing to the young pastor Timothy over the church of Ephesus. And it says this, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now we know from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses in the first few verses, who did Timothy learn from? His mother and his grandmother. And so Paul's saying, from whom you have learned them from, verse 15. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Help them to be acquainted with Scripture. Let them read Scripture. Let it be a daily part of their routine. And especially while they're in your home. Let them get acquainted with finding books and Bible verses and even stories and precepts. And let go, hey, I just read this today. What does this mean? A chapter a day. A verse a day, a psalm a day, a proverb a day. Do something. Let them be acquainted with Scripture. Point number 3. I told you we were going to get through this. Point number 3. Don't discourage them. Here goes. Don't discourage them. If you go back, write this verse down. to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and you get down to verse 20. After the Lord calls them and says, listen, teach your children. Teach them all the time. When you're standing, sleeping, walking, doing all these, teach them all the time. Then it says in verse 20, but listen to this. And when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what does this mean of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed us signs and wonders before our eyes, and great and serve, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all of his household. Then he brought us out from there, and that he might bring us in and give us a land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God, for our God always, for our good, to fear the Lord and for our good. I'm sorry, I can't read. Gotta take these off. That he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these things, all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So what does this mean? It means it take pains to answer their questions. If you look at verse 20, when this young man, this son asked, could you imagine the explanation that father gave? Son, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you how we got to this point. Let me share these things with you and how this has happened. Take pains to answer their questions, no matter how painful and hard it is. I brought this as an illustration. I'm not going to tell you who gave it to me. It has hieroglyphics on the back. It like little animal. Anyways, it says to Pastor Brandon. And it's got three questions. And I'm going to read it like this child wrote it. Okay? Why is God on his throne and on earth? Question mark. See his big question mark right there? Meaning, how is God on his throne and on? He wanted to know this. It's another question. I can't. Beth can read it better than me. Why is that we can't draw God, but Jesus is God? You get it? Graven image. Why can't we draw God, but isn't Jesus God? And I see a lot of pictures of Jesus. Third question. Why is that God is killed the devil later than sooner? I mean, a little child. And they've got questions. And you know what? I sat down. His dad was like, don't bother Pastor Brandon. I was like, no, you let him come to me and ask me. Let me sit with him. What are you smiling at, Philip? Are you going to unleash the Kraken? Go ahead, Owen. Pastor Brandon said, go ask him. Owen, ask Daddy first. If he doesn't give you a good answer, come ask me. All right. But don't hinder them. Children often have very misguided views of divine things. It's mostly because of the examples that they have. But children have real answers that we hide from them. And I don't get that. Life happens. You know, death is a real thing. Cancer is a real issue. Anger, sickness, suffering, evil. Let's take the pains, because have you ever thought and wondered, maybe the Lord is bringing this child to ask me these questions so that I will know what they mean? Maybe the Lord is sanctifying you through your children. Right? Maybe you need to look at them and go, you know, that's a good question, and I don't know, but let's find it. Encourage them. Talk to them about the sermons. Talk to them about things that they heard. Talk to them about the scriptures. Encourage them to take notes. It doesn't matter how, if they do nothing but draw pictures. Don't discourage them from these hard things and hard questions. Point number four. Labor to deter them from sin. Labor to deter them from sin. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13. I want to read this to you. You know, a lot of people know this story, but they don't connect the dots here. This is Samuel. It's a story in this chapter, which you guys know. It's the story where God calls Samuel out and says, Samuel, Samuel. And what does Samuel do? He gets up and he runs to Elijah and says, did you call me? And Elijah's like, no, go back to bed. How many times has a dad said that? Go back to bed. Which Elijah wasn't his dad. Eli. And so Samuel heard it again, ran to Eli, go to bed. And it happened again. And Eli was like, wait a minute. It's not me. He's hearing something. Maybe it's God. Hey, Samuel, the next time this happens, just say, Lord, I'm here. Speak to me. And this is Samuel's first calling, first message that the Lord gives him. And I think to myself, man, Lord, couldn't you just like break him in with the easy one? No, the Lord throws him in the deep end. The very first one. And he has to confront the man that he loves, his mentor, the man that's been teaching him and showing him. And he's confronting his mentor. Listen to this. Verse 13. God says, for I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquities which he knew, he knows. Because his sons made themselves vile and he did nothing to restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. Work to hinder your children in their sin. Don't abide them in their sin. Don't prop them up in their sin. Don't help them in their sin. Hinder them. Samuel's first prophecy was to go to his elder and say, hey, and if you remember, you keep reading, it said he woke up the next morning and he opened everything up and he was afraid to see Eli. Could you imagine? This young man going, man, what am I going to do? And Eli was like, what's wrong? What's going on? Hey, tell me what the Lord said to you. And you remember what Eli said? If you don't tell me, may it be worse on you. And I thought, Lord, you know how to baptize preachers by fire. But this is a lesson for parents. Do all you can to hinder their practices. Start putting an end to lying and swearing, vow breaking. Do what you can. Work at this. You know, Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 13, in the last chapter of Nehemiah, the prophet, do you remember Nehemiah said, I'll stand against y'all. I'll fight every one of you. Do y'all read the scriptures? I've told our young people, if you read that passage, it was about marrying out of the faith. And Nehemiah said, I'll fight you. Read it. And I think, and I've told my kids, I said, I will fight you. When they turned 13, their dad took them off. And that was one of the lessons that we went over is, You want to pick a fight with your dad, marry outside the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 13. Riley, did you get it? It's the second part of Nehemiah 13. Is that the last chapter? Nehemiah 13? It is? Okay. All right, okay. It's there. It's what? If I got the reference wrong, I'll find it. All right. Point number five. Let's hurry up. Stir them up in their duties of holiness. Push them to do what's right. They have a duty to do things right and to serve the Lord and to do things for the Lord. Galatians, we just got out of Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6 through 10, it says this, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God will not be mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will also reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the same Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. Serve all people. We need to teach our kids to serve all people. Those who are not like us, those who we don't necessarily like. Have compassion. Have mercy. Teach them how to love. Be humble. That we aren't better than anybody. that you put others before yourself. Learn how to deny your flesh and help others. Teach them what a libation is. To serve. 6. Pray for them. Pray with them. I'll give you this passage, Luke chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Y'all don't have to turn there. Just write it down. It's the passage where the disciples go to Jesus and say, "Teacher, can you teach us how to pray?" And then He gives them the Lord's Prayer. Let me ask you this. How are you teaching your children how to pray? And I mean more than just around the dinner table, which I hope you're doing at least that. But do they hear you pray? When they are facing tough things, when your family is facing tough things, do they hear you pray? Have they seen you stop and say, "Let's pray right now. Let's ask the Lord to do this." Do they hear you pray for safety? Do they hear you pray for them? Do they hear you pray for others? Do they hear you pray at night? Do they hear you pray in the morning, during the day? May it never be that a child goes throughout a day without hearing his mom or dad pray. God forbid. Right? Do they hear you pray? I agree, Emma. And lastly, correct them. Point 7. Correct them. I'm going to just give you a bunch of verses. I'm going to read a couple. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, "He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly." Verse 19, 18. "Chastening your son while there is hope, and do not set your heart on his destruction." 23:13. "Do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die." Verse 14, "You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell." It's gotten quiet. 29:15. "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Amen? Correct them. Can I say this? Learn how to correct your children biblically. Learn how to correct your grandchildren biblically, and your nieces and nephews, and the children in our church. Learn how to do it biblically and rightly. Most parents correct their children out of inconvenience or convenience. They don't do it out of what is biblically right or wrong. Most parents will correct their children if it's convenient to them at that time. Or they decide not to if it's inconvenient. instead of taking the time, stopping and going, we're going to get this right. Learn how to correct them biblically. You know, this is probably a novel thought, but if we disciplined our children based upon what God teaches is right or wrong, you know, we might have His backing, His blessings. Have you ever thought about that? If you stand up to your children, it doesn't matter what age, how old they are. If you stand up and correct your children biblically, what God says is right or wrong, do you think that God will be behind that? And if you do that and they reject it, what does Scripture say about that? It's to their demise, to their damnation. Right? Now think about that. If that principle is right, then when we, and listen, you can ask my children, we've had this conversation thousands of times in the Griffin household where I've looked at them and said, honey, I have to correct you. I have to do this because if I don't, now Dad is wrong before God. And you know, you can kind of read your children because you know when you get them in that vulnerable spot, you kind of go, and you don't want Dad to be in trouble with God, do you? I know, Dad. I know I'm in trouble, but I don't want you in trouble. And you're like, okay, bend over. It's not like that. Y'all know that. But you have conversations with them like that. If I don't discipline you, then Dad's now wrong, right? That's what's biblical. And they need to learn that. And it doesn't matter how old they are. If you don't stand up for what's right, patriarch, matriarch, head of families, if you don't stand up and say, that's not right, then you're going to be held accountable. I can't tell you how many grandmothers and grandfathers, they just go blind to sin. I'm not, amen? Not my mom. Right, Mom? Yeah, she doesn't go blind to sin. She tells me all the time what I do wrong. Correct them biblically. So, do y'all feel encouraged? Happy Mother's Day. That's a message for you, for us, for me. Right? We have a high calling to train up the generations behind us. Right? Happy Mother's Day. I pray that you will be godly mothers, stepmothers, mother-in-laws, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, aunts. That you take your role in the family of God and in your family serious. Amen? We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that the Lord will help us raise children, the next generation behind us rightly. And I'm going to pray for our fellowship and the food. Now listen, moms go first. Moms go first, okay? Then our seniors. Okay? And if you're a mom and a senior, you're at the front of the line. I'm going to let you decide what a senior is. Okay? And children go last. All right? So let's pray. Oh, yeah. We have a gift there. It's in the basket right there. Thank you, Carrie. You can put it up here. Now remember, ladies, this is your honey. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word and for scripture, and help us, Lord, to heed it, to make changes in our lives. Grant us repentance. You know every heart here. You know everything that's going on in our lives. There's nothing hidden. Lord, you do your work that you need to do for your honor, for your glory alone, for your kingdom's sake. Lord, not for our comfort, not for us to have ease of relationships, Lord, but help us to stand up for what's right, to be obedient no matter what, to follow you, especially when it hurts, to learn how to die to ourselves and live for you. Thank you for this food that we're about to receive. Lord, it's a reminder of that great day when all the family of God will be gathered around the table and no one will be missing, and our Father will be at the head, and we will enjoy all the feast at once. Lord, may our fellowship be honoring to you and glorifying to you. Thank you for the mothers. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.